devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarane Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 22. Om Nama Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Nama Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Nama Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nara devatvam apanaha sura karya chakishaya samudra nigrahadini chakre viryani ataha param nara devatvam apanaha Surakarya Chikishaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanyatak Parang Naradevatvam Apana Suryakarya Chikishaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanya Takparam Nara Devatvam Apanaha Surakarya Chakirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanya Takparam. Please chant. Ladies, Nara. Human being, devatvam, divinity, apana, having assumed the form of sura, the demigods, karya, activities, chikirshaya, For the purpose of performing. Samudra, the Indian Ocean. Nigraha Adini, controlling, etc. Chakra, did perform. Viryani, superhuman prowess. Ataha Param, thereafter. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Ram in order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods. He exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist king Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Purport by the ISKCON founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead Sri Ram assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with a spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But, puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men, to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means, without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly, reaching the heavenly planet, so that people may not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Ram, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife, Sita. Of course, Lord Ram came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and the desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord, by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones even within this earth to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Inmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Trinadapi Sunichena Torar Iva Sahishnuna Amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari, harinama 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 ivakevalam. Kalo nastiva, nastiva, nastiva gatir anyata. Vitarasi dikshu rane dikpati kamaniyam. Dashamukhamauli balim ramaniyam. Keshavadrita rama sharira jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava of fine hair, you have accepted the form of Ramachandra, and by so doing, in the battle of Lanka, you distribute to 10 heads of the demon Ravana as a great offering to the presiding deities who control the 10 directions, which had long been desired by all of the demigods. Prabhupada writes in his Nectar of Devotion, the subject matter of the Ramayana is sometimes considered pitiable and distressing to the heart. But actually, that is not the fact. The Ramayana narrates how Lord Ram was sent to the forest by his father just when Ram was going to be enthroned. After Lord Rama's departure, Maharaj Dasharatha, his father, died. In the forest, Rama's wife Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana, and there was a great war. When Sita Devi was finally delivered from the clutches of Ravana, Ravana's whole family and kingdom and Ravana himself were vanquished. When Sita Devi came home, Sita was tested and tried by fire. And after some days, Sita was again banished to the forest. So all of these subjects in the Ramayana seem very pitiable, and they may appear very distressing to the reciter, but actually they are not. Otherwise, why would Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, read daily about the activities of Lord Ramachandra as described in the Ramayana itself? The fact is that in any of the 12 transcendental humors of devotional service, everything is transcendentally pleasing. Shukadev Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Katvanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasharatha. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in 4 forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. And because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. In order to keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. Lord Ram was also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriva, king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshmana, both of whom gave Lord Ram relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Shurpanakha, thus disfiguring her, Lord Ram was separated from Mother Sita. Lord Rama therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows, thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed Lord Ram to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, Lord Rama entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishvamitra, Lord Ramachandra, king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection. O King Parikshit, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, Lord Ram broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugarcane. Thus Lord Ram achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, Sita was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home, after gaining her at the assembly of the competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parashuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, Parashuram was defeated by Lord Ram, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residents, and everything else. And he went to the forest with Sita, just as a liberated soul gives up his life. And while wandering in the forest, where Lord Ram accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. Lord Ram also killed Sharpanaka's 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishura, and Dushana. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires. So Ravana went to kidnap Sita. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, Lord Ram left his residence and followed the deer, finally killing Maricha with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of Janaka, king of Videha. Just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshmana, as if very much distressed due to separation from Sita. Thus, Lord Ram showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus, Lord Ram performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. Lord Ram then killed the demon named Kabandha, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, Lord Ram went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, Lord Ram exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then, the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at Lord Rama's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, Master of the Universe, the unchanging and original Personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. Ravana is the son of Vishrava, but he is condemned like urine. Please, go kill Ravana and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it just to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Shukadeva Goswami thus continued, after constructing a bridge over the ocean, by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of the great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. And with the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, Lord Ram, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were thus all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, Ravana called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, as well as his own son Indrajit. Thereafter, Ravana called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then Ravana induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, khadgas, and tomaras. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus, the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. And thereafter, when Ravana, king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, Ravana was extremely angry. He thus mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded towards Lord Ramachandra, who was sitting on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra then said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnapped my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, just as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you, Ravana. For you are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed it at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. "Lord Rama ki!" Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sign, crying, "Alas! Alas! What has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka. Continuously crying, they approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas, striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshman. The women embraced their respective husbands, crying piteously in voices appealing to everyone, "O my Lord, O Master, you epitomize trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we are also defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? O greatly fortunate one, You came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to the state, having been killed by Lord Ramachandra. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and we ourselves, now have no protector. And by your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Vibhishan, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ram, the king of Kosala. Then Vibhishan performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath the tree named Singshapa in a forest of Ashoka trees. Sita was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from Lord Ram. Seeing Sita in that condition, Lord Ramachandra was very compassionate. When Ramachandra came before Sita, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved Lord Ram, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishan the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, or one day of Brahma, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the airplane himself. The period for his living in the forest having ended, Lord Ram returned to Ayodhya accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and Ram's brother Lakshmana. When Lord Ram returned to his capital Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered Lord Ram's body with beautiful fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of Lord Ram in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ram had heard that in his absence his brother Bharata was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow, covering his body with the bark of trees, and wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on a mattress of kusha. The most merciful Lord Ram very much lamented this. When Lord Bharata understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital Ayodhya, Bharata immediately took upon his own head Lord Ram's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigram. Lord Bharata was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians, vibrating, pleasing musical sounds, and by learned brahmanas loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses with harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. And there were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants bearing betel nut, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisks, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharat, his heart softened in ecstasy, and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet. So I'll stop there. as to not go too long. Is there any discussion? Yes, Bhrigupati. Whatever the standard procedure is. Wait. They're getting you.
So, it seems to me that the main reason why Lord Ramachandra attacked Ravana was because he had to rescue Sita. So that was a pretty high priority, because, you know. But later on, I don't know if it was mentioned there. I don't think it was mentioned in this what you just read yet. But later on, when he heard there was some rumor that she was, there was some rumor that. Actually, it wasn't even a rumor. There was just some. He overheard. He was on tour to see what the citizens were thinking about how he was doing, and he overheard some sudra talking to his wife, "Don't think I'm going to take you back like Ramachandra took Sita back after you, with somebody else." So, it sort of cast an aspersion on. And so, just on the basis of that, he rejected Sita. Sita was sent away. So, which seems, because he wanted to fulfill the role of the ideal monarch. As the ideal monarch, he had to be beyond suspicion. Okay? So, but if that was so important, if that was even more important, because it seemed that that was even more important than rescuing Sita. That was like a higher, in the hierarchy of principles there, that was got a higher ranking. But why didn't, in the first place, when he was told by his father that, because his father had already told him he was going to be the monarch and he was supposed to be the monarch the next day, why didn't, when he was informed by his father that actually you have to go into exile for 14 years, I don't recall there being any even discussion. Why didn't Ramachandra just say, "Well, what's up, Dad? Why is that? What's the reason?" And then, because if it's so important to have an ideal monarch, why wasn't it important at that point? Just at the end, it seems like it was so important, but it seemed like at the beginning, there could have been some discussion there. Anyway, just a question.
Your questions are above my pay grade. So I will lead the other more advanced devotees. Profit and answer.
Didn't that accident happen after he came back?
The accident happened after, but so it's obviously a very important thing. That, they'd be an ideal monarch. So much so that even when there was any doubt, that he was, within his relationship with Sita, he was banishing her. He was sending her away because he didn't want to be seen as anything less than the ideal monarch. That was so important to him. Even more important than keeping Sita, who he went to all the trouble to get. He had to go to all the trouble to go and kill Ravana and defeat Ravana to get her back. And now, just because some sudra is saying something about, I'm not going to take you back. Don't think I'm like Lord Ramachandra. I'm going to take you back after you've been with somebody else. And because that might make him look like less than the ideal monarch, he's sending her away. So if it was so important to be the ideal monarch, if that was such an important thing, how come when his father told him in the first place that you have to go into exile for 14 years, how come he didn't even inquire, well, why? What's the reason? And that doesn't sound like a very good reason. It's obviously...
No, he was told.
He was told, but it seemed like he would... He could have put up some argument at that point or something.
No, because, like you said, he's the ideal human being. So back then, the culture was, if the father, the guru, gave an order, there was no discussion. You simply obeyed. And you see that even after accepting going to the forest, practically speaking, all of Ayodhya went to the forest to try to convince him, come back. Bharata said, "I'll take your place in the forest." And I think Vasishtha was also saying, "No, you don't have to do this." Ram said, "No, it is my father's order. I must execute my father's wish." Naikatma has his hand raised.
So it seems like that's even a higher priority.
Well, morality sometimes Depends on time, place, and circumstance. So now that Ravan is killed, Ram even said, now that Ravan is killed, I have no more enmity toward it. It's done. That's why he allowed Vibhishan to perform the funeral ceremony. He had no more, so now he's king. Now it's a whole different ballgame. Things change now. Anyway.
Thank you very much for your very nice class, Prabhu. That last point you made, I just wanted to add on to it.
Can you speak a little louder?
thank you very much for a very wonderful class. That last point you made, that last sentence, was what I was also going to bring up, and that was that Lord Ram was not the king at the time when he was ordered by the king. But when he took on, he was not originally, not officially the ruler. But when he came back as the official ruler, then it's a whole different etiquette and a whole different standard that has to be observed. So, again, as his son, accepting the father's order, he had to take it. But now we're talking about Lord Ram being the king.
Yes, Sachi. Tanoy.
Yeah, first, thank you very much. I do remember sometimes in trying to figure out the dealings of the Lord, the activities and pastimes that Lord Bhishma Dev was telling, that himself and many Mahajanas cannot figure out, understand, how the Lord is going to act in certain cases. And that brings me also to the same kind of trend of thought about that one time one lady here, when some devotee was giving class, was mentioning about, like Sita was dejected. He says, why is that? And this happens, I hear many women also. What is the big teaching in there? Because they see themselves as women, like, that's like the greatest thing that they cannot understand, that being rejected. And maybe you can comment on that. What is the teaching right there, and specifically for them to be able to understand? Did I put my question properly or no?
What is the teaching for women in this regard?
Or the world in general. What the priority, the citizens, or the women. Sometimes we say charity begins at home. And it's like she didn't have any, like a break in a sense. Like, hey, go. So how do we reconcile that?
Go ahead.
Just elaborating on that question. So, in that example I gave, it seems like Sita really got some unfair treatment because she was kidnapped by Ravana. It's not like she went off with somebody else, voluntarily. She had no choice. She was abducted. She was kidnapped by Ravana, okay? Whereas this Sudra, who is talking about his wife, she went off with somebody and she was expecting to be taken back again. He was saying, what? So what do the acharyas say about this? Because, there's an expression, let the punishment fit the crime. So it seems like Sita got a lot more severe punishment here, so to speak, than what was deserved. I mean, it seems like it's really excessive because some sudra, means fourth class person, is saying something to his wife about, and making an analogy about why should Ram feel that he has to be an ideal monarch, send Sita away? It seems like that's excessive. I'm just kind of curious if the acharyas comment upon that.
I don't know. Prabhupada doesn't go into much detail, which is why I said at the beginning, these are over my head. Fools rush in where Prabhupada doesn't comment.
As far as the banishment of Mother Sita, actually Lord Ramachandra, he asked Lakshmana to drop her in the ashram of Vasishtha Rishi, right?
Valmiki.
So actually he didn't banish her. But actually, he just asked her to... Actually, it is also said that when Lord Ramachandra returned to Ayodhya, then he enjoyed the kingdom and the company of Mother Sita for thousands of years. So there was a time that after, you know, spending so much time, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, we can say, that there was supposed to be the separation. And because Lord Ramachandra is the king and he has to set the perfect example, so he made sure that Mother Sita is well taken care of. He didn't just reject her, like it is shown, like many times people portray it wrongly, but he actually sent her in the ashram and where she was very nicely taken care of. And also there was time for Lord Ramachandra to slowly wind up the pastimes. So it's all arrangement.
Actually, I heard an even more like esoteric explanation of that, that by doing that, he blessed her with service and separation. You know, she was with him, and then when he sent her as part of, you know, the Yoga Maya, and in this way she was now had service and separation, just like, you know, Radharani is experiencing Vipra Lamba Seva as opposed to, what's it, Samboga, something like that, you know. So I've heard that.
In your reading, there was a, when Ravana was killed and the family members came and the women started, you know, making plea, and what's going to happen to us now? Who's going to take ship? From who are we going to take refuge? I was noticing that it's a mixed things. First, they were praising, everything is like fine. We were like having a good time, and now you're gone. What are we going to do? Then, after that, they also said that he's going to be, his body is going to be eaten by the crows, or what is that? And you're going to go to hell. So it was like two things. One is they were giving him...
Yeah, seeing things from different angles of vision.
Exactly.
That's what life is all about.
That's exactly what the point that I was...
Yes. They could see on one hand, this is deplorable, but then they realize, yeah, you deserved it. So the two things they could see.
So that means that as long as sense gratification or like happiness is being provided for me, whatever happens, it's okay, we'll put it aside. But when everything comes down, then they start realizing, like, oh, and look what's going to happen to you now. But before, well, you know, that's the way it is. So isn't it in some ways that's the way we all live, like the world outside? They see all the discrepancies of everything. But anyway, money is coming. Oh, I have a car, I have a wife, I have this and that, and things goes on.
Yes.
So, that's the illusory energy.
No.
Right?
So, as far as Ravana's wives and consorts, what are they going to do? They just have to accept their situation and live with it. They don't have any choice. What are they going to do? So, and it's described. Mandodari is considered as chaste as Sita, which you might think, what? But that's the way it's presented. So, notice this concept of chastity is highly extolled by Ram and by Krishna on the night of the Rasa dance. Krishna told the gopis, you should go home because carrying on affairs with the paramour means you will not be promoted to heaven. So the Vedic culture was such that the chastity of woman was one of the primary building blocks. Primary building blocks. So they're not at fault. No. Yes.
Yeah. So it's well known that Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. That's where he got all his power from and stuff like that. So And it's also, I think it's actually stated that it, right towards the end there, you know, when he saw things weren't going the way he wanted, he prayed to Lord Shiva to come and help him. And Lord Shiva didn't come. And I'm just kind of curious, he went to help Banasura. So why is it that Lord Shiva didn't show up to help his great devotee Ravana, who he benedicted and blessed in so many different ways up to that point? Why did he, you know, abandon him in his hour of need?
Well, when you say he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva.
He worshipped Lord Shiva, right?
Yeah, that, so what? That doesn't mean anything. He was using him. All he wanted was a benediction. This is like a business arrangement. There's no love or... No, Banasura is a little different. Because Banasura was considered to be like a son. He actually did some service. So it's a different relationship. Not Ravana. He's a rascal. There's no devotion there. Worshipping the demigods is like paying off. That's why it's not praised by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a business transaction. There's no love. This is love. Devotional service.
I accept your answer, but I'll just throw in something to, you know, to churn here.
Yeah.
So there's one lecture where Prabhupada raises that question himself, and apparently even Parvati asked Lord Shiva, because, you know, Ravana was praying, help me, Lord Shiva. So Parvati goes to Lord Shiva, hey, you know, here's your great devotee. He's praying to you to help him, and he's really in, you know, needs you now, and you're not doing anything. How come? And then that's when Lord Shiva says, what can I do? You know, Rake Krishna Madike, Madhe Krishna Rakeke. When Krishna wants to kill somebody, I can't, there's nothing I could do. You know, right?
Yes, Mayaiva Vihitan Hitan. The demigods can only give benedictions if Krishna in the heart sanctions. They're not independent. This we learn from Prabhupada's teachings. Mayaiva Vihitan Hitan. They're not independent. That's a misconception many people have, that the demigods, Vishnu, Narayan, they're all independent. Like in Greek mythology, everyone's fighting each other. No, it doesn't work that way. They are subordinate. Yes, yes, yes. Don't give these kinds of benedictions because it simply indulges them.
So how would you say about the sanction? So he was not sanctioned.
No, obviously he had to sanction it. Brahma's not independent. So he sanctioned it. But now, after the incident of Hiranyakashipu, then he's telling him, hey, stop this nonsense.
The general understanding is as the ages progress from Satya, generally it's Satya Dwarpa Treta, but anyway, Satya Treta, whatever, things degrade. Okay, so the appearance of Lord Ramachandra is prior to the appearance of Lord Krishna.
Yes.
And Lord Ramachandra, he showed the example, he accepted one wife, right? So in other words, he felt it was necessary way back in the old days to just show that one wife. So how is it that Krishna accepted 16,108 wives?
Why?
Yeah.
You know the answer to this.
I know the answer to all this.
Because Krishna came, okay, Ram came as, what is that phrase, Maryada Purushottam, to show what is the perfect human being. Krishna came, I'm God, deal with it. That's what Krishna, he came to show, here is God, unrestricted, no holds barred, as it is. Love it or leave it. Surrender or not. That's Krishna. Yes, some people have a problem with some of Krishna's pastimes because I've dealt with this times in my preaching. They want Krishna to be a good little boy and follow all the Hindu rules. And when Krishna doesn't, then they say that Krishna is immoral. No, they don't understand what is Krishna. He is the decider. He is the supreme. And if he wants to violate the very laws that he creates, what he, like Prabhupada said, Krishna is unlimited. So if he's unlimitedly lusty, what are you going to do about it? That's Krishna.
Okay, another question, a little technical, this one. Okay, so generally I think it's accepted Lord Ramachandra's pastimes were like, what, 2-3 million years ago or something like that? It was earlier in the... Huh? Yeah, Treta Yuga.
Treta Yuga.
Okay. But in what you were reading, we heard that he gave the benediction to Vibhishana to rule for a day of Brahma. So we see Vibhishana is not ruling now. So maybe it doesn't make sense. In other words, that would mean that maybe these pastimes took place... And he would still be ruling, right? If that, because the benediction of Lord Ramachandra can't go awry. So.
I cannot adjust. I can't adjust. Same thing. Gopis dance with Krishna night of Brahma. They're still dancing. So some of these things, remember, our philosophy is achintya, inconceivable, simultaneously one and different. So, as I've said many times, our philosophy is try to understand an elephant on a dish. It's not going to tally with our limited materialistic logic. Just like we read, Kurma Avatar was 800 million miles big. Now, the scientific mind is going, this is all fairy tale. But we take it as it is. No. It was 800 million miles long. Boss, finish. As you know the story, the Brahmanas could not accept that Krishna had a headache and that the dust of their feet would cure his headache. Whereas the cobbler immediately... Not the cobbler, the gopi. Anyway, there's a story of the cobbler. Okay? I'm thinking of two. I'm mixing two. No. The Brahmanas was Krishna was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. That was the story Narada tell. What was? And so the Brahmana said, Narada, what do you think? Come on. Go away. Are you really Narada? Whereas the cobbler said, yes, I believe it. And Narada said, you believe that? That Krishna was threading an elephant with the eye of a needle? He said, yeah, look at the seed of the banyan tree. So if Krishna can put a whole banyan tree in a seed, Krishna can thread the elephant with the thread a needle with the eye of the elephant. So me, I don't try to worry about how did this happen? How did that happen? I just want to enjoy the pastime. So if it said that Vibhishan in ruled Lanka for a day of Brahma, that's good enough for me. Why do I have to calculate this? That it's not necessary. There's more important things to worry about. But we see devotees get hung up. Me, I want to enjoy, relish these narrations. I'm not looking at it. I'm never going to be a scientist. I have no interest in science. I'm interested in relishing. Like prasad. When I take prasad, I'm not analyzing it. How did they do this? How did they? I just know, this is good. Give me more. Okay? Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaya Bhacha Titanang Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo